In this strangest of years, as we have moved through the final weeks of Lent, through the Easter season with COVID-19, and now to the celebration of Pentecost, the weirdness does not abate. And indeed, today, when we celebrate the founding of the Christian Church by the infusion of God's Holy Spirit into the followers of Jesus, we come today with the full weight of all that we as citizens of the world carry. It's always true. We come to every Eucharist that way, with everything we carry as people of the world, as people trying to discern God's way. But in this season of illness and contagion, and during this spring when our society is erupting in chaos, grief, and raging pain, I'm hoping for a palpable dose of the Holy Spirit's comfort, peace, and empowerment. Jesus promised his disciples after the resurrection that he would not leave them comfortless. I love that, in the true meaning of the word comfort, which means calm as in community and fort as in fortitude, to be stronger together. Jesus would not leave them comfortless, would not leave them without shared strength. He promises that, and he says that God would send them the full measure of the Spirit that he himself had known, the Spirit that filled him with the confidence to accomplish his difficult work of showing the world the measure of God's inclusive justice and love. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God so that he would extend the loving arms of God wide, so wide, to reach every soul, every molecule of the created order. The words that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit are often hopeful, natural images. He talks about the advocate, the one who stands with us, the comforter, the one who makes us strong. He talks in today's gospel about a stream of living water that will flow out from us to make the desert bloom with beauty and hope. I'm drawn, though, today to the other images of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures: tongues of fire, the sound of a violent wind, power from on high. And that image of that first Pentecost, that burst of ecstatic energy that filled the disciples and changed their lives and the trajectory of history. I'm reminded that in Joel, as we also heard, the Holy Spirit appears at the end of an age, the end of the age, filling people with prophecy and power, with the dreams of a new day, the day when the whole earth will know the glory and the will of God. I'm reminded of the pillar of cloud, which is wind and water altogether, and the one of fire that led the Israelites from the known security of their slavery in Egypt into the terrifying but life-giving freedom to live according to the commandments of their own God. Today, with this little red gospel lesson from John, I'm reminded that the waters of the Spirit are not only refreshing and flowing out gently, but that the Holy Spirit of God also comes out, as Amos describes, as justice that flows down like mighty waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This old world needs some comfort just now, God knows. And it surely also needs some cleansing and some restorative justice for the downtrodden and the fearful and the ill and the refugee and those in exile. The Feast of Pentecost reminds me that God's work in this world also has an agent to accomplish that work. God's work has a church, a people whose identity is consecrated, set aside, consecrated for the work of love, of restoration, of welcome and inclusion, consecrated to the work of understanding and proclaiming and living the truth that all the children of God are equal in God's eyes and heart, that all and each of us are infinitely loved, entirely precious, and equally blessed. It is our work as a church to enact that truth, as Jesus did. It's our work as a church to exercise our best and strongest efforts to be God's agents in making this world whole. It is our work as a church in this time in history to begin to dismantle the system of racism. You know, that's why St. Luke's founded Person to Person all those years ago, to address the inequalities of the society around us, the separation of suburb from city, rich from poor, white from black and brown, to address those afflictions that sit with us still, which have been perhaps worked away at by us, by Person to Person, but are still so painfully evident. To break down the dividing wall that keeps us all less than whole, because we cannot be whole alone, and keeps too many of our kindred, our beloved by God and us, brothers and sisters, in unjust poverty. It's my last Sunday at St. Luke's, and I would have loved nothing more than to preach a sermon of calm reassurance, of glowing cheerfulness today. I love cheerfulness. You might have found that out about me. But proving true my own experience that the movement of God in my own life usually feels like a kick in the tush to get moving in a Godward direction, today instead we have the rushing winds of Pentecost, the fire of God's will of justice, a global pandemic affecting the poor most severely, and proof of this society's disease of racism served up just in time for my final sermon. I don't have any neat answers for you today, nor for myself, or any answers for the dread events unfolding on the news. I do have the reassurance that God's will for the wholeness of the entire creation, that will is inexorable and will move in that direction. That the call that God's Spirit always moves the church toward is the work of making whole, of reconciliation, of true and deep peacemaking. And I have the assurance that no matter how difficult the way is, the Holy Spirit will empower us and move us on. There it is. No neat wrap-up of my time here, but any attempt to do so would falsify the dynamic movement that is always the divine will for the followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit never leaves us where we are for long, but always pushes us toward the world's brokenness. In our hands, the healing power of love. The Holy Spirit pushes us with the healing power of love toward the world's brokenness. I've seen that again and again this last year plus. And I look forward to how it continues to unfold in this loving, creative, powerful community that is St. Luke's. I look forward to watching how the Holy Spirit troubles and soothes and sends you. I also have a prayer, not my own, an anonymous prayer from a pastoral prayer from a preaching resource that I use for this, written for this day. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the loving God, descend upon our hearts. Melt us and mold us, God, into your image. For though you created us to reflect your grace and compassion, we frequently turn and pursue selfish paths. Forgive us, divine creator, when we are tempted again to go our own way in life. Open our eyes and ears and hearts to your holy purposes. Take the dimness of our souls away. Fill us with gratitude for your abundant gifts and use us in your service. God of compassion and grace, hear our deep cravings for peace, peace in our hearts, peace in those relationships most significant to us, peace in the world. As we ponder the sobering toll that warfare takes, remind us of your vision for human life. in the midst of a world of suspicion, fear, violence, and greed, embolden us to plant holy seeds of justice and mercy and peace and hope. In our personal times of discouragement, Holy God, remind us that your mercy never fails, your compassion never ends. Spirit of Pentecost, Spirit of freshness, Spirit of new life, teach us to love one another as we ought to love. Hear us now as we pray for our parish community, that we may become a place to deepen faith, proclaim peace, embrace community, welcome others, and serve our neighbor, all in the compassionate spirit of Jesus. We also pray for people of faith around the world as they seek to embrace the holy passion of living for your glory, O God. Hear us, gracious God, as we hold before you those in special need of your healing touch. Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts, stoop to our weakness, and enliven us. We pray in the name of the one who came living and proclaiming a new way of life, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Blessings, my friends. Amen.